thank you. Y'all sound
good. To God be the glory.
Yes.
For the great things that he has done. Truly, I'm overjoyed today. You might recall a couple of weeks ago, another nephew came to visit us, and his name was Melvin. Well, Anthony is Melvin's son.
Oh.
Pastor God is bringing them in one by one. I was expecting another nephew, but God got his timing for him. But Anthony, I'm so glad. I think you remember what your grandmama told you. Word is your bond. You told me you were coming and you showed up. To God be the glory. Now when I rose this morning, I didn't have no doubt. I know that the Lord would take care of me.
Yes.
And I know that the Lord is going to guide me as I deliver the message that he's given.
Yes.
I'm not sure how it's all going to fit together, but I know God gave it. He has a purpose in mind, and he knows that we need this word.
Yes.
So all I'm going to say, God, you just have your way with me. First, I want to acknowledge God, who is the best thing that ever happened to me. I thank Pastor for the opportunity to stand today to preach the word. Father, I stretch my hands to thee. I'm dying, O Lord. I've heard thy voice, and it's told I love thee. Consecrate me now by the power of grace divine. My soul looks up with a steadfast hope. My will be lost in thine.
Yeah.
Father, I thank you.
Yeah.
I praise you. I ask that the Holy Ghost take full control.
Yeah.
That I will proclaim the words that you have put in me. Not my words, God, but your word. For your word is quick, is sharp, and powerful.
Yes.
Than any two-edged sword.
Yes.
Cut it even to the division of soul and spirit. And I thank you for it, God. It's in Jesus' name I do ask this. Amen.
Amen.
This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. The word is right for us. Let me just remind some of us who've been in Sunday school for the last four Sundays, and for those that may have not been present, like some of us, like me, but the last four Sundays, the Sunday school lessons have come from the book of Amos.
Yes.
And I've read the lessons, I've kept up, but I found something that I thought was a little bit interesting, and I paid attention to. And I want you to notice a statement that Amos made about himself. He says, I was no prophet, nor was I a son of a prophet, but I was a sheep breeder and a tender of the sycamore fruit. Let me just sort of paraphrase that for you. He's saying, I'm just a nobody. I'm just a plain old country boy. But I got a message from the Lord.
Yes.
That I need to tell his people. So like so, what is then sort of significant about him? Amos himself, in his own testimony, gives the answer. He said, the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. Now Amos provides a good example for us today. He reminds us that we don't have to be professionally trained to speak up for God.
Yes.
When you see human injustice or sinful behavior.
Uh-huh. Right.
especially by those who claim to be Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, Amos was a spokesman for God, not because of education, not because of birth. He was not even, hadn't even been to the school of the prophets, and he was not even a son of the prophet, but because he was obedient when the call of God came. That's what make him significant. Mm-hmm. You too can be a spokesperson for God, but you have to listen for his call, mm-hmm. and then do what he tells you to do.
Right.
Sometimes we don't want to obey God. Mm. I can remember when I got my call to preach, I'm like, God, you got the wrong person. Not me. I got five brothers who should have got my dad's mouth, not me. It was something for me trying to tell God about his business. But I've learned through the hard knocks in life that I had to obey him. So I submit to you the title today, A Call to Obedience. A call to obedience. Now, you heard a scripture read, and there's some similarity in the New Testament that God is going to allow to bring in the Old Testament. The Bible, though, has much to say about obedience. In fact, obedience is the essence of the Christian faith. Jesus, our example, himself was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. For us, as Christians, the act of taking up our cross and following him, as stated in Matthew 16:24, means obedience.
Yeah.
The Bible makes it crystal clear that we show our love for Jesus by obeying him in all things. Mm-hmm. In fact, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So obedience is key. We are to trust God and we are to obey God. Songwriter said, trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Now let's just make it very simple. Obedience is something that parents expect their children to do. And when there is disobedience, the children here, there's some consequences, right?
Yes.
So we all know what obedience really means. But let me just use, for the sake of the message, that obedience can be defined as dutifully compliant with commands, orders, or instructions of one in authority.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, of the child, it's the parent. Our parents are parents. Mm-hmm. Using this definition, we can see the elements of biblical obedience. Dutifully means it's our obligation to obey God, our Heavenly Father, just as Jesus did. He fulfilled his duty to the Father by dying on the cross for us. When we were yet sinners, didn't have a God on our side, Jesus died for us. So we shouldn't even think about having to think about to obey. We just ought to obey. So for Christians, you and I, obedience means complying with everything God has commanded us, because it's what? Our duty. So the word duty is quite familiar to me. Probably Diane too. Because every job description that I've ever had, there was some duties and responsibilities. Not so. The Christian job description has duties and responsibility. And I'm just going to talk about that duty to obey. Again, I'll say obedience means complying with everything, not some things, everything God has commanded. Because it's our duty to do so. I'm going to get to the text in a minute, which is going to come out of Deuteronomy, which might seem a little bit strange, because when God appointed me there, I'm like, God, how does this connect? But when we get through it, you'll see. Now, having said that, I need you to understand that it's the spirit of obedience not the act of obedience that's important. And you like say, well, how can you separate the two? What does that really mean? But a case in point is the Pharisees. Y'all heard about Pharisees and Sadducees and all them other seeds, right? The Pharisees pursued acts of obedience to the law. And by doing it, they became so self-righteous. Believing that they deserved to go to heaven by what they had done. To them, heaven was a reward owed for their good deeds. But what did Isaiah say? All our righteousness is as filthy rags. And what do you do with a filthy rag? Burn it up. So, we don't want to be like the Pharisees. One thing about it though, Jesus exposed them. They were the people who obeyed the letter of the law, but not the spirit of it was characterizing their life. They telling people what to do and they doing everything else.
All right.
But Jesus sharply rebuked them and he called them hypocrites. Oh, I don't know if we got any here today. I don't think so. But outwardly they appeared righteous, but within they were full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Pastor Davis, I believe our righteousness here at CLSC exceeds that of the Pharisees. If not, you need to not have a little talk with Jesus. You need to have a big talk with Jesus.
Good.
But I don't think we are like the Pharisees. While obedience is first and foremost, I must address disobedience. And to do that, God took me to the book of Deuteronomy. Now, that's where the text really is to be. But I could go all through the Old Testament and see repeated failures of Israel to disobey God. I don't know if we got any Israelites in here today. They repeatedly disobeyed God. Refused to keep his commandments and statutes. And I said, well, what was wrong with them? Were they blind to obedience and just seeing disobedience? Did they realize that disobedience brought blessings? Obedience brought blessing and disobedience brought about curses? But you and I know and realize that because the Bible tells us obedience bring forth blessings. Disobedience bring forth curses. Now I want you to go with me to the book of Deuteronomy. I want to do a little exploring in there in this fifth book. And turn to chapter 7. Just like God had called us to be a royal priesthood, a chosen nation, he also called Israel to be a holy people. Now we find that Deuteronomy signifies second law or the second edition of the law or a repetition of the law. My study allows me to understand that this writing was necessary because the generation to whom the law was given initially had all died except Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. We got a new generation of Israelites. So go with me there. Deuteronomy chapter 7. And it reads thus, when the Lord thy God should bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and have cast out many nations before thee, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations greater and mightier than thou. And when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters thou shalt not give unto his son. Nice daughter shall thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against them and destroy thee suddenly. But thus shall you deal with them. You shall destroy their altars, break down their images, cut down their groves, burn their grave images with fire. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't leave no trace of that. Mm-hmm. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because God, the Lord, loved you, and because he would keep his oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, have the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. And repayeth them that hate him to their faces to destroy them. He will not be slack to hate to him that hates him, he will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgment which I command thee this day to do them. So we find here God has gotten the Israelites out of Egypt, getting ready to send them to the promised land. But just think about us. He brought us out of darkness, brought us into his marvelous light. Amen. And because of what God has already done and what he said, we just ought to obey him. But I know that we have problems doing that. Mm-hmm. So we have here this new generation of Israelites has emerged. They're about to enter the promised land. Now this generation, the old generation had died out. This generation had not experienced a miracle at the Red Sea. They hadn't heard the law that was given at Mount Sinai. Mm-hmm. They were about to enter a new land with many dangers and temptation. So they needed to hear the law again. They didn't know about that. So the second edition, or the repeating law, was given to remind them of God, of his law, and of his power. So we find that Moses, God's servant, called the people to obedience. Now, based on my study, this is my little view of the situation. Here's Israel gathered on the east bank of the Jordan, ready to enter the promised land. Mm-hmm. It has taken them some years, mm-hmm. yeah. some years, I believe 40, mm-hmm. to get there. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But according to Deuteronomy 1 and 2, the journey could have taken place sooner. It wasn't that far, but they wandered around out there in the wilderness for how many years? 40 years. 40 years,
yeah.
So 40 must be the number of change. 40 years. A lot of other things happen with 40. So Israel is really ready physically to enter the promised land. But they are far from being ready spiritually. Mm-hmm. Now, they did not need to be concerned about the military's affairs, how to deal with all those ites, 7 of them. Mm-hmm. But their only concern was to execute their duty to God, and that was to obey him.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So we find Moses, God's servant, the deliverer, had the task of sermonizing the people. I don't know if that's the word, y'all, but I just, they needed some sermons. They really needed some sermons because they weren't ready. They didn't even know what it was. But notice now that God, what he says in that sixth verse, Israel is to be a holy people, like us. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God have chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all the people that are upon the face of the earth.
Right.
Now, as we talk and look at Israel, I want you to be thinking about us today.
Yeah.
More often than not, we might know what is right, but we don't always obey.
Right.
And every now and then we need a reminder.
Right.
God has to do something to get our attention.
Yeah,
but it shouldn't be. Our duty is to obey him, and we ought to just simply do it. If we own man's job, we do what we're supposed to do more often than not.
Mm-hmm.
So three passages of scripture in Deuteronomy that we're going to smoke. I want you to look at with me. First of all, Moses called Israel to obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, and it reads, "Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes, for unto judgments which I teach you for you to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God of your fathers giveth you." They didn't have to go and work for. They just had to enter and possess the land and do what God said.
Mm-hmm.
"You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command." In other words, Moses is telling them, don't add to it, don't subtract to it, but rather keep the commands of the Lord that I give you. That applies to us today. We don't have to change the word. We don't have to fix it up. We just need to take it for what it is. Faith-based. So first thing Moses is saying, he's calling them to obedience. Now, I say imagine, because of this new generation didn't know all these things, Moses had to give them some instructions.
Yes.
So if we look at the sixth chapter, verses 4 through 7, Moses instructs Israel to love the Lord. And he says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt what? You know it. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be where? In your heart." God looks at the heart. He searches. When we say, "God know my heart," that's right. He's the only one that knows. "And thou shalt teach them diligently," not haphazardly, but diligently, "unto the children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou lie down, and when thou rising up," all times. Moses said, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your heart. And then you just don't have them in your heart. You got to impress them upon your children. You got to talk about them when you're sitting at home.
Well,
you got to do it when you're walking along the road. You got to do it when you lie down and when you get up, ever before this, so we don't need to neglect that. So, Moses called Israel to obedience. Moses instructed Israel to love the Lord. The third thing, Moses tell Israel to take his word to heart. In other words, don't let it be a fire by saying. Chapter 32, verses 46 to 47. "And he said to them," Moses speaking to the Israelites, "set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you today, which ye shall command your children to observe, to do all the words of the law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because this is your life, and through this thing you shall prolong your days in the land, whither you go over Jordan to possess it." In other words, Moses was saying, take heart to all the words that I have solemnly declared to you, so that you may command your children to not just obey, but carefully obey all the words of the law. They're not just idle words for you. They are, in fact, your life. Mm-hmm. Jesus often tell, man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. And he tells them, by then you will live long in the land you're crossing the Jordan to possess. As I look to this, there are about four things that I can really see from this study that he wanted the people to remember. In fact, commanded them to remember. Number one, God's faithful. God is always faithful when they were unfaithful. He's still faithful to us even when we are unfaithful. Mm-hmm. God is holy. God's holiness. Mm-hmm. And guess what? He told us, be ye holy. What? For I am holy. Mm-hmm. And God began to tell them about blessing. If you do this, if you keep my covenant, I'm going to bless you. Mm-hmm. But guess what? God has some warnings too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, we just want all the blessing. Mm-hmm. Bless me, Lord. Mm-hmm. But there's some consequences when we disobey God. Mm-hmm. So we do need to remember God's warnings.
Yeah.
If you do this, I'm going to do this. But more often, we want the blessings of God. We don't always want to obey God. Now, just right now, everybody, just take a moment to remember all that God has done for you. You don't want to forget it. You don't want to act like the Israelites or somebody else we know of. Just remember. Songwriter said, when I think of the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me, my soul said hallelujah. Yeah, I was a wretch undone. Excuse me for being personal, Anthony, but Anthony was a wretch undone. Got sick, maybe sick unto death. But God was merciful. Brother Freeman, he was walking around like you on dialysis. But one day God saw fit to give him a kidney. You look at him now, you would never know that. But to God be the glory. So when I think about the goodness of God and all that he's done for me, I got to tell him thanks. Yes, sir. So as we move on, I'm reminded of what the psalmist said, mentioned in Psalm 78, 10, 11, 40 to 42, 56 and 57. He had a lot to say about Israel not keeping the commandment of God, the covenant of God. They refused to walk in his law. They often provoked him in the wilderness, grieved him in the desert, forgot all his mighty acts and wonders, did not keep his commandments. Do you know anybody like that? Before you answer, take self-examination. Maybe you might need to be reminded of what the psalmist of 103 tells us. He told us, say, forget not all of his benefits. Mm-hmm. Don't forget what the Lord has done. Mm-hmm. One who forgive all thine iniquities. Mm-hmm. One who healeth all thy diseases. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't the doctor's medicine that healed you. Mm-hmm. It was God. He is the one who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Jesus made a crystal clear, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. Not abundance things, but have life abundantly. Mm-hmm. Abundantly is more than enough. Mm-hmm. I need to remind you that it's the Spirit of Christ that gives life. The Bible is very clear. It said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his.
Yes.
But if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Mm-hmm. The psalmist goes on to say, is he who crowned thee with love, kindness, and tender mercies. And guess what? There are new mercies every day, thank God. Not only that, the Lord execute righteousness and judgment for all that oppress. He made known his ways unto Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Mm-hmm. The Lord is merciful and gracious. good gracious life. Plenty of mercy. Make me want to sing, sister. I wish I could sing. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. I want to thank you, Lord, and I want to praise you too, because it was your grace and mercy that brought me through. Mm, yes, sir, God. Yes. See, in the book of Deuteronomy, we have the underscores, the importance of God's word. Mm-hmm. It is vital to our life. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. Mm-hmm. The flesh profits nothing. Mm-hmm. And we find many New Testament things present in the book of Deuteronomy. The first, one of the foremost things is the necessity of perfectly keeping the Mosaic law and the impossibility of doing so. They couldn't keep the law. Mm-hmm. They was always transgressing the law. Mm-hmm. So God had to give us a better covenant. Mm-hmm. The new covenant. That new covenant which Jesus Christ is the mediator. But you know, just think back. And if it was applicable to Jesus, it's applicable to us. During the time of Jesus was tested in the wilderness, he quoted this book 3 times. He quoted it. Look, check it out in Matthew 4. In doing so, Jesus illustrated for us the necessity of hiding God's word in our heart, that we may not sin against him. Hide the word in your heart. See, if we don't hide the word in our heart, we'll be all across the room doing everything. We'll be acting like the Israelites. Now, although we're no longer under the Old Testament law, we still have a duty to obey God. And we are responsible for submitting to his will. I said to you, simple obedience brings blessings, while disobedience brings curses. Deuteronomy 28 tells us so. Now, none of us is above the law. Moses himself, the lawgiver, was required to obey. God's servant, who God used, disobeyed God. Think about that. He's the one that God is using to deliver the law, to bring the people out of bondage. Tell the people that God is going to send you to the promised land, let you, but Moses didn't get to go. He looked over and saw it, but he couldn't go in because he disobeyed God. The reason he was not allowed to enter the promised land was because he disobeyed what the Lord had clearly told him. Numbers 20 and 13. Moses took matters into his own hands. Go back and read it. I don't want to let the cat out the bag because I'm going to force you to go and read it. What did he do? That can be an example to you. While Christians are not called to obey the law as articulated by Moses, that law has been fulfilled in Christ. So Christians, us Christians, we Christians, talking like the South Carolina. We Christians ought to obey the law of Christ, which is the law of love for one another. No wonder Jesus said, love is the bond of perfection. Love is what we need to do. Love fulfills the law. One thing that I want to share with you, and I'm about to be finished, Jesus himself put this in perspective for us. Here come the Pharisees again, coming to Jesus with a question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? They were always trying to trip Jesus up with something. They know they weren't doing what was right. All pure and holier than thou. They had all this wrong stuff in their heart. But God searches the heart. He do the same thing for us. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law? Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus answered and said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first commandment. And the greatest commandment, first and greatest. And the second is like it unto this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Loving your neighbor as yourself is not going to do any harm to anybody. So all the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. Matthew 22, 36 and 40. So since love fulfilled the whole law, why are we trying to do things to get God's favor instead of just obeying what he's saying? How can you know what he's saying if you don't have his spirit and God is dropping things in your spirit? How can you know what's in the word except you study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needing not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth? He said, when the Holy Ghost comes, you shall have power. And the Holy Ghost going to lead and guide you. The Holy Spirit is going to teach you. So when we sit and read the word as I did one time, God, I don't understand what this is saying. I picked up my Bible one night in Bible study some years way back, and the first scripture God gave me in Revelation was John 10, 10. And I'm like, I ain't never seen this word before. But what he said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. So if you're a sheep, got the spirit of Christ, then you're not a goat. You ought to know his voice. So when you study the word, he will illuminate it. He will light it up so that you can understand. See, we got, it's a day and time where people are walking around with their Bible, having a PhD, have no Holy Ghost, trying to teach us who go to seminary schools. But how can they teach when they ain't got no Holy Ghost? They coming at the doctrine and wisdom of men, not God. So I was listening to the eulogy that President Obama gave. And after that, people give him accolade and called him preacher. I said, now they just talking. All that was sitting up there with the three stripes on, which means they had PhDs, y'all know, or whatever they had. But anyway, I dare say some of them didn't have no Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit would discern. Spirit would let you know who's who. But I'm about to go to my seat. If we love God, we'll obey him. Jesus said that if you love me, obey me. And my commandments aren't burdensome.
That's right.
The call to obedience, which is commanded by God, not only glorifies him, but it benefits us. Obedience brings us joy, comfort, peace in a world where such things are hard to find. We got all these things that's going on, but a lot of it's going on because there's disobedience and rejection of God and his word. If you just look briefly in Deuteronomy chapter 28, and I'm about finished. Moses told the Israelites, chapter 28, verses 1 through 2, it shall come to pass if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, not some but all, which I have commanded thee this day, the Lord will set thee high above the nation of the earth. And all these blessings shall come over thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now, if you look, God lists all these blessings. Time does not permit me to go there and name them. But, see, the opposite of obedience is disobedience. Like the Bible said, where there's good, there's also evil. Where there's obedience, there's also disobedience. So I'm not separating the two. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I've commanded thee, and all these curses shall come upon thee. Not only come upon you, they're going to overtake you. In a day and in a time that we live in, where anything goes, all types of injustice, wrongdoings by many, false doctrines, attempting to change God's command and the light. We really need to be hearing from God. Not only do we need to be a hearer, but a doer of the word. People was just happy about what has been decided about gay marriages. My Bible tells me there are some things that's an abomination that's to God, and things that God hates. But man is trying to change law and order. But God's word shall stand. Every one of us has a call to obedience. God goes on to say, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. And all these blessings will overtake you. I want the blessings of God. What about you? As I'm about to close, I often think what an awesome that my dad used to say, a charge to keep a hand, a God to glorify, a soul to say, ever fitted for the sky. See, God is the judge. He is the one that gives the commandments. He is the one that judges. Now, he tells us that we can take self-examination. But we know whether we are lining up with the word of God. Pastor pour out his heart to us Sunday after Sunday. We have Bible study. We have spiritual discussion. Oh, we get the word. But the question is, are we obeying it? Are we obeying? That's an individual thing, because as he often say, our relationship with God is between me and God. Same for you. But God knows, because he looks at the heart. I challenge you today to take that call to obedience serious. Look at the Israelite, God, people that he chose. God has chosen us. We bear Jesus' name, Christian. So we ought to be an example to the world. There should be something different about us.
Yes.
We should not look like the world and act like the world, like the Pharisees was doing. Somebody should see us and say, oh, there's something special about them.
Amen.
Because of their walk, because of their talk. But more important, it ain't what the people say. It's what God says. Because all of us got to stand before God and give an account. And we can't say, oh God, I couldn't read. I didn't know your word. Like Moses. And God gave him something. The first thing he said, God, I can't talk well. I can't speak well. God, I ain't been to school. I don't know. Be like Amos. I ain't no prophet and was not a son of a prophet. All I know is God told me to go and prophesy, and Amos did that to the Israelites. A call to obedience. Think about it. Take self-examination. Is there something that you're not doing that you should be doing according to the word of God? But remember, he said love, L-O-V-E, fulfills the whole law. Because love is not going to do any harm. Love don't parade itself. It don't act unseemly. Love is not envious. It's not jealous. It's not all those things that 1 Corinthians 13:13 say. Even as Pastor mentioned some in his last message. But love, that four-letter word, love, it fulfills the whole law. Just like the Israelite, we can keep the law no way. But thanks be to God, he's given us a Holy Ghost in the inside. And he said, when the Holy Ghost come upon you, you shall have power and you shall be my witnesses. Thank you, God. If you don't have God's spirit, you're not his. And he tells us not to just be born again, but he said be filled with the spirit. When you're filled with the spirit, be like Jeremiah, something shut up in my bones. You will know that you know that you know. And then you want to obey God at any cost. Then the fear of the Lord will be upon you. You don't want to knowingly disobey him. A call to obedience. go back and look at the people that God chose to be special to him. They went hoeing after other gods. Mm-hmm. When God completely said and told in the Tigma, have no other gods before me.
Yes.
Do you have any other gods before God? That's not an answer you need to give me, but to yourself. Because God knows.
God knows.
God knows.
Come on then.
You can't hide from God.
Because
he is the one that searches the heart.
That's right.
And guess what? The word is our standard. We get in that word and we'll see how we measure up. Growing up, one of the things that my parents taught me, especially my father, Anthony, he would kill us about lying. He said, because if you lie, you kill. He based it on a biblical principle. So that grew up. And when the people were reminded to tell your children, parents, you have a responsibility to train up your children. Mm-hmm. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. Because when they get older, they'll be saying like, say, I remember when I was told so and so. But we in a world this day and time where anything goes.
Mm-hmm.
Parents out there in the street not teaching the kids nothing. Then we wonder, why is the world like this? Why is there so many murderers?
Mm-hmm.
The fear of God is just gone.
Oh, yeah.
People don't care nothing about the sanctity of life. They'll assume to shoot you as enough.
Mm-hmm.
So truly, we're in perilous times.
Yes, we are.
We need to study. Somebody said this basic book of instruction before leaving. We need to study this. We need to, for the Holy Ghost to reveal it to us so we can apply it to our life. It's no good to come in here Sunday after Sunday and Sunday read instead of the word being by the study if we don't apply it to our life. I admit we need some help.
Yeah.
And that help is the Holy Ghost. For Jesus left, he said, it's expedient that I go to the Father.
Mm.
And if I go, I'll send the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. Mm. The Holy Spirit that's going to lead and guide you.
Yes.
We need the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
We need to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Because
we need some power to be able to stand.
That's right.
Somebody said, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. We need the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will help us, will empower us to obey the Word of God. So if the Holy Ghost wrote it, he can reveal it to us and help us to do it. A call to obedience. Look at the Israelite as an example. But more importantly, look at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. One who obeyed God even to the point of death for us. He shed his blood that we might have remission of sin. There was no other way that we could get back to the Father because we were dead in trespass and sin, separated from God.
Mm-hmm.
But because of what Jesus did, he obeyed his Father.
Yeah.
And if we are Christians following Jesus, we need to obey also.
Yeah.
If you're willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Thank you, God.
Amen. 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 Yes. Amen.